As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
I am pleased and excited to be here to share with your community, hopefully some meaning that I've given my journey, and hopefully some wisdom and faith to shorten the distance of resistance that we create for ourselves. So thank you for the invitation and allowing me to share this time with you, Ilana.
Thank you. Yeah. And before we got on live, we were talking about one of your many homes that you're in today, and that you had gone to school in Occidental College near Eagle Rock, where I raised my son, Gabriel. Small world. I love this.
It is a small world. And it was a small school as well, which is why I went there, because it was one of the few schools that would let me play football. And one of the great experiences of my life was to play football in college.
Oh, that's amazing. So good. So good. So one of the things I love about you is that we can go so deep so fast, that your heart is huge, that you're authentic and vulnerable. And so this episode, we're talking about shadows and turning them into superpowers. And I've found a lot of people in the, I don't know, personal growth world or metaphysical world, they kind of only focus on the good, which is good, right? And your mission is to make people happy. But my experience is that if we push away the shadows, they actually grow. But instead, if we lean in, we can transform them, transmute them, kind of like alchemy, kind of we can turn the lead into gold. So I'm just going to ask you a series of questions. And of course, we'll go wherever the hell we're going to go on this. But let's just start. Like, what do you love about being a man? What do you love about being a man?
Wow. No one's ever asked me that question. I love masculine energy. And so I later on in my life, raised an awareness to my masculine energy and my feminine energy. And so to have an embodiment that is identified as a man, allows me to lean into the masculine energy of the basics of being able to provide, and, at its core energetic and genetic inheritance of being able to be a provider of value, which is what I love most about being a male. The insecurity side of it is also something that I enjoy. I remember even when I had my first daughter, who you met today, Marissa, and I was so nervous, and the nurse said, "God's going to give you what you need," because I grew up with 5 boys and a girl and a lot of masculine energy. And I had to learn about the projection of my own insecurities through a variety of experiences. And so for me, I love the idea of providing value inherent in myself as a male embodiment and the male energy that I have. But I also have been much more in touch after having 3 daughters and married for 27 years with the feminine energy side of who I am. And that harmony is what I enjoy most about being a man, is to be able to be harmoniously integrated as a feminine and a masculine energy.
I love this. I love this. You sort of went into part two of my question, like transforming any shadows around masculinity, insecurity. Go deeper if you would, because I think it's hard in society for men to admit they're not perfect or to feel their feelings publicly or at least intimately with their family. So how did you transform your insecurities into a superpower?
I am in the process of doing that, first of all. So I love to give people a little bit of humility and hope. It's just a journey that I'm on. Some of the significant defining moments of my own masculinity was dealing with being sexually abused as a 9-year-old by a relative, a male relative. So that created, and I still get emotional about it, because I'm still processing, even though I was 9. That was one of the things as far as leaning into the shadows of saying, you know, how does that reflect onto your identity as a man? And 1 out of 4 men experience this type of abuse. And it's far less reported, far less dealt with. And not until, believe it or not, when I was 50, I'm 56. I know I look older, but I'm only 56. I didn't go to therapy until I was 50 because I didn't think it impacted me. And that was a very important thing in my masculinity, that although I provide value, I also am not allowed to let things harm me. I still, you can see. And I think it's important because so many men, they open up to me and they haven't dealt with it. And you can't, when you're dealing with these feelings, I want people to know they don't go away overnight. I've been working on it for 6 years, and it happened when I was 9. And it, we talk about one of the greatest journeys was playing football in college, but I know why that was so important to me, because it's such a masculine sport. In fact, when I played football in college, there was no women involved in any aspect of the sport at all. You know, I remember even, I think it was after my college career that they had their first woman announcer, and it was a big deal. And so I think I grabbed on to things that would illustrate or amplify my masculine energy. That I was tough, that, you know, I was strong, that I could protect. I didn't tell my mom because I thought it would hurt her. Which is a weird thing. Imagine being abused as a 9-year-old by a relative and not telling your mom because you were protecting your mom. A single mom who raised 6 kids. And I knew it would destroy our whole family and our life.
So suppressed it.
In fact, suppressed it so much that I blacked it out and denied it until my 20s, when the person who did that to me died of AIDS, and called me before he passed to apologize. I was like almost in shock. Like, what are you talking about? It's really weird. So I think, you know, that second stage is one of hope for me, that more people will realize that bad things happen to protect us, promote us, and love us. And that it's that leaning in, the meaning that I have given that experience, that has elevated my power to empower. And it hasn't punished me. And I have forgiven myself, my mom, and the perpetrator for that behavior that has created great growth in my life.
Wow. I had no idea you were going to say that when I asked you.
Well, I've been impressed if you did.
I am grateful. So I'm 54 and I never knew.
You're just rubbing it in because I'm 56 and you look 20 years younger. So I get it.
I love you. I discovered 4 years ago, the last boyfriend I had ended up pleading guilty for criminal assault. And I had never been in a physically abusive relationship in my life. All I've done for 20, 25 years is help people have thriving intimate relationships. But behind the scenes in my life, I just couldn't get it right. Two divorces, custody battle, and then this criminal assault. And what I did is I'm like, what is wrong with me? I would wake up at 3 a.m. going like, I am so smart. I'm a cum laude graduate of an Ivy League school. Like, what is wrong with me? And I started going to a different kind of therapy than I'd ever gone to before that dealt with the body, the somatics, the subconscious, because anything I could remember or figure out in my mind wasn't working. And what I discovered in my very first session was all the memories came back, the smells, the feelings of penetration, the you made me do this, you like this, don't you tell anybody. Like the people that did that to me, there were two growing up and I had blocked that out, disassociated, level 4 trauma. Since a little girl, 4 or 5 years old. And through, it's called psychedelic somatic integration. It's where you help the autonomic nervous system come back. It's not of the mind. It's not the secondary consciousness. It's the primary consciousness of the body. And for the first time, I forgave myself because I kept attracting these abusers, not just romantically, but professionally too, people that would use me. And I couldn't see it coming, David. And in fact, I was more attracted to the abusers. All of the people that had integrity, they were boring to me. And I realized that my hypervigilant looping, my body, my energy, my frequency was nonstop, 24/7 saying, where's the abuser to survive? Where's the abuser to survive? So it's the only thing I ever looked for. You know, we know that 90% of our being is subconscious. And so when I have gone through this protocol, finally, that pattern is over. Finally, my hypervigilance is back. Finally, I can see what I've never seen before. And now I'm able to give that gift to my clients as well. So I'm glad that I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but the gift, one of the gifts is, at least for me, is that I run fast away from the pain and I'm very productive and I'm very reliable and I'm a hard worker and I'm resilient and I have a lot of fortitude and I give and I impact the world. I also burn out. I also don't slow down. I'm also afraid to let go, rest, and play. And at 56, I'm still single. So I'm doing the work as well. Tell us more about the gifts, even though I know you're still a work in progress, that you're getting from this in terms of self-forgiveness, not so much as a thought, but a real embodiment, and then the space you can be for others or and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, I think understanding the behaviors that are necessary in order to grow. The biggest thing I've taken from it, because I've been born with a gift of being able to articulate things that resonate with people. I speak at a frequency that makes people feel, not just contextually be able to communicate effectively at different frequencies or vibrations. And so for me, I've come with these simple ways for people to identify their behaviors without attaching to the outcomes. And when we start looking at behaviors that we have, like you have, is this a good behavior aligned with where I think I want to be or better? And what bad behavior do I have that interferes with it? And so one of the things that I've learned is that there's two time zones that I live in. One is the man-made 24 hours a day that I take into consideration not only the circumstances of the actual day, but the meaning that I give my past in accordance to the divine direction that I think I want to be on. And so it gives me and gives me the ability to explain to people divine detours compared to punishment.
Nice.
And I was punishing myself, as it sounds like you were, for so much of my life.
Yeah.
Instead of learning from, finding what I call the light, the love, and the lessons, in these defining moments, and aligning the meaning with where I want to be or better, not with where I don't want to be, what's missing, what other people want for me,
right,
or punishment.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it, whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie. December always brings a special kind of comfort. But I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/playbook. As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
This idea of divine direction, divine detour, and reconciling today in divine time has allowed me to empower millions of people and soon someday billions of people in the world to create, like you said, a collective consciousness. I love your philosophy about subconscious. I say that, you know, 90% of our behaviors are based off of the subconscious. Unfortunately, the subconscious, over 80% of the words, thoughts, beliefs, feelings inside the subconscious are negative, and they're repetitive. So we have to elevate our awareness to the patterns, our subconscious, that are activating our quantum being. And you talked about breaking a chain. What you've been able to do is change your subconscious energy, your subconscious words, thoughts, beliefs, feelings, in alignment and activating the genetic and energetic pieces of your quantum being, and deactivating this behavior that was bad. And your behavior that's bad could be good for someone else, and my good behavior could be bad for someone else, depending on where you want to be or better. And I encourage others and applaud you for also empowering others with your pain and teaching that as long as your purpose is greater than that pain, you'll be fine. You'll keep growing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When you bring this into, so for me, I was spinning a million miles in my head, and I would let myself come down to my heart, and I could keep my heart open. And it was almost like a bravery, like a courage, like I'm not going down. And I'm a good person, and I'm here to make a difference. But I still was like numb in my hips. there was still the trauma in there, and I didn't have that sense of like grounded, centered, soulful, like, you know, that pre-thought, that that knowing. This thinks all day long, but that down in my hips, it knows. As you've been doing this personal work with healing from the abuse, how has it affected your entrepreneurial world? I'm very curious, because to me, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah. You talked about, you know, denial. So there's a difference in the way that I do things. And one of the defining moments that I've been blessed with is I lost everything in my 30s, which I learned more from as an entrepreneur than any other event as an entrepreneur.
I waited till my 50s, so you're ahead of me.
Yeah. But, you know, it allowed me to shift a paradigm that I think is reflective of what you're suggesting, which is ease. Mm. I didn't have faith. So my philosophy as an entrepreneur was relative to those incidences in my life that I would work through everything. I was in control.
Right. Yeah.
And I still, you know, I genetically inherited obsessive compulsive behavior. My dad smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day, was a compulsive gambler.
Wow.
I personally became a cleaner. So meaning that everything in my life was in order about me, because everything was chaotic inside me.
Yeah.
Now it's transformed into time. And so I have to be very aware not to obsess on time.
Now you're just a mess around the house too, right?
The house is easy. but I do. I want to be so productive, but it's the ease and dis-ease that's changed the most, meaning that I went from trying to get more all the time to prove who I was instead of I am. So I best can articulate it in, I used to say, I want more money, more happiness, more health, and more wealth, and more worthiness in my life. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
No matter what.
I will not quit. No matter what, you can laugh at me, scoff at me, make fun of me. You'll never stop me. Two, I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. I just got to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it today. And that progress will aggregate, accelerate, and compound exponentially to where I want to be or better. I think the best statement, which I stated earlier, was wisdom and faith were the two things that I seek now to shorten the distance of resistance that I create between who I am and what I want people to think I am. And that energy suck is especially contributed to social media. I want people, I am not, this is what I want people to think I am. And I lived way too many years, even before social media, in this realm.
Yeah.
And I have shortened this distance of resistance through wisdom, asking for help and reading and all the meditation and all the training and skills and knowledge, but also just faith that there's something bigger than me that loves me more than my mom.
Oh, so adorable. I love this. We could start, let's say we're just a victim. We're sitting on the couch, blaming everyone, being entitled. And then I agree that next step is like, I'm going to do it and I'm never going to stop. And my adrenals are burnt out and I don't care. Right? We're just going to keep going. To this beautiful, like, I am-ness. I love this. For me, that tip had a lot to do with humility, and that I was no longer miswired outside in, but inside out. Not, I'm enough if you like me, you approve of me, or if my environment is safe, or there's a bank account is big and the butt is small, or whatever I needed it to be. Right? and for me, that is a piece of humility where I just go, okay, God, divine universe, I'll live your dream. I have my inspirations. I have my choices, but ultimately I give it over. I'll keep going, putting one foot in front of the other. But if you have another plan, so be it. Like I trust, like to me, that's my version of faith. How has your literal intimate relationship with the divine shifted as you've moved into I am? Because I am single, but I don't feel lonely. I don't feel alone. I feel like my lover is the divine. I question sometimes. I'm like, well, that's a curious thing you just did there. Okay, fine. I trust you. Right. Like I'll spar. But I feel held. I feel grateful and blessed. I haven't spoken to my son in 4.5 years, lives with his dad. So I just keep putting one foot in front of the other. It's not like life is perfect. I'm single. And I do feel so safe on the inside, held on the inside, enough on the inside, and free to be a hot mess and not apologize for it. And also free to really own what I'm masterful at, like both sides. So that's my relationship where it stands today with the divine. How has that shifted for you, your intimate relationship with the divine?
Well, I went from saying I hate my mom, my dad, my best friend, and my wife, and loving everyone else because they told me how great I was. And the only four people that were trying to save me were my mom, my dad, my best friend, and my wife. And I ended up bankrupt at the door of my mom's house. The only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy her house. I identified you laughed about having a big bank account and a small butt. I've always had a small butt, but I also had a big bank account, and no matter what, if it went up, I had over $100 million. And if I lost it all, but if my bank account went up $100 with all that money, I was happy. If it went down $100, my identity was so closely tied. I was sad. And I ended up at my mom's door, not only to tell her I lost over $100 million, but I had lost her home because Margaret was on her title. And I told my mom at that day, this is 18 years ago.
Wow.
I said, Mom, I'm bankrupt. And unfortunately you're going to have to move. I was crying, of course, when I told her. And she said, are you okay?
Oh.
I said, Mom, I don't think you heard me. I lost everything, including your house. You need to move. She said, I heard you. Are you okay? Do you need some money? I said, Mom, I said, I don't know why this happened. Why am I being punished?
Yeah.
I said, to be honest, Mom, my mom's pretty religious. I said, I don't believe in God. Why would he do this to me?
Right.
She said, oh, son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. And when you said, it's so interesting because my life is amazing. I have four healthy, beautiful children. I have an amazing mom and wife and community who loves me.
Yes.
Because I know they love me because they tell me the truth.
Yes.
They tell me, hey, you got some work to do, bro. and it's interesting because I have been on a journey to be loved by God more every year. And the love that I'm experiencing outside is only because I feel it for the first time inside.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I feel it all the time.
Yeah.
I have a need to be offended is a quantum interference of mine. I have a need to be offended. So sometimes if I'm not invited somewhere or somebody says something, even though it's silly, I one of the funniest ones, and I know we have a few minutes, but I got to tell you this.
Okay.
I have a very big social following. And somebody one time said, you stole gratitude from Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, who's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
I don't even know why that would offend me. But my initial reaction was to respond. As I had a need to be offended so bad when it'd be impossible for me to steal gratitude from anyone, let alone from like my logic tells me, let alone a kid who's, 15 years younger than me. My grandma taught me gratitude. So I know I had it before he was alive. But I had this need to be offended.
Yeah.
And, I am a work in progress. I am on the potter's wheel. I have great faith. I am loved. I remember telling myself, I don't hate my mom. I don't hate my dad. I don't hate my best friend. And I certainly don't hate my wife. I hate myself. And I'm going to start working on myself. And I'm going to start loving myself. And I'm going to start giving to myself so I can give more, be given more, receive more, and ask for more than more. So I can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more. And here I am 18 years later, and I went from being a victim to a world of just enough for me, buying shit I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. And now I live in the world of more than enough of everything for everyone. And I spend minutes and moments, not days, weeks, months, and years.
Yeah.
I spend minutes and moments interfering with my potential, interfering with my God. And that's where I live. That's where I'm going to increase and improve. And you bring out the best in me, and anytime, anywhere, anything I can do for you, your community. Like I said, I'll pay for my book. I'll pay for shipping. I'll sign it. Email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And Alana, let's do more stuff together. You're a beautiful soul inside and out.
Oh, thank you, David. Thank you. Again, dmeltzer.com/book. So you can receive his generous gift. And just before we bid adieu, just drop into your heart, drop deeper into your hips, drop all the way in, and just allow the gift of his vibration, his truth, his humility, his power, his gentleness, his humor, his love to touch you. Thank you for touching our community, David. Humongous love. Until next time.
Next time.